So, imagine taking a single, beautifully functioning restaurant kitchen, right?
Okay.
And you just smash it into a dozen discrete pieces, and then you scatter those pieces across the entire globe.
Sounds pretty chaotic.
Right. Like you put the pantry in Virginia, you put the head chef in a temporary pop-up tent in Tokyo, and I don't know, you put a bouncer at the end of the customer's driveway to check their ID before they even order.
Yeah, that is quite the visual.
Well, that crazy globe-spanning mental image, that is like exactly what happens when you leave the comfortable world of WordPress and enter the modern web stack. So, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are looking at a very specific stack of sources, architectural diagrams, code-based blueprints, developer notes, all culled from a comprehensive 16-module course on the modern web and DevOps landscape.
Yeah, and our mission today is laser focused on you, the listener, specifically the experienced WordPress developer.
Exactly. You've got, what, 5 to 15 years under your belt. You've been building with PHP, MySQL, traditional hosting. You've made it through the previous course modules, so you know the new vocabulary now.
Right, you know the names. Next.js, Supabase, Vercel, Drizzle, Auth.js. You know what tools replace what parts of the old ecosystem.
But, I mean, knowing that a nail gun replaces a hammer doesn't mean you actually know how to frame a house.
Exactly. The goal today is to cure the one remaining blind spot in your transition, which is how to actually read a modern Next.js code base.
Right.
We want to trace exactly how all these disparate pieces wire together in practice. No hype, just a concrete map of the integration.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really understand how these tools wire together, we have to trace the path of a single web request.
Yeah, the request life cycle is everything.
Because if we look at the traditional WordPress request we all know and love, it's a very linear, localized dance.
Very contained.
Right. A browser makes a request. Nginx on your server catches it, passes it to PHP FPM, WordPress boots up, queries MySQL, which is sitting right there on the exact same machine, generates the HTML, and hands it right back. Six steps. Boom.
Yeah, cozy.
So what actually happens in this modern stack when a logged-in user tries to load, say, their account dashboard?
Well, the modern scenario is fundamentally different because the labor is entirely distributed. It's not one server doing everything anymore.
Okay.
Tracing that path means looking at a highly specialized relay race. So let's start the moment the browser hits the URL for that dashboard.
Step one.
Right. The DNS resolves, but instead of routing to a single server in a single data center, like your old DigitalOcean droplet or whatever, it resolves to Vercel's edge network.
Okay, so the request physically lands on an edge node geographically closest to the user.
Precisely.
So if our user is sitting in a cafe in London, the request goes to a Vercel server in London rather than traveling all the way across the ocean to a main server rack in New York.
Exactly. And this is where the very first piece of your custom code executes. We call it the edge middleware.
Middleware, okay.
Right. Before the core application even boots up, this tiny, incredibly fast function runs right there at the edge. Usually, this is where Auth.js checks the user's secure session cookie.
Oh, I see.
If they aren't logged in, that middleware intercepts the request and just redirects them to the login page immediately.
That is that bouncer analogy from earlier. You're checking IDs at the end of the user's driveway.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The unauthenticated request never even reaches your main application logic, which, saves massive amounts of server processing power.
Wow. Okay. It's an incredibly efficient security perimeter.
Totally. Now, assuming they are logged in, Next.js takes over the routing and directs the request to a specific server component for that dashboard.
Okay, and where does that run?
This component actually executes on Vercel's serverless runtime. And while it's running, it realizes it needs the user's profile data, so it calls Drizzle to query the database.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for a PHP developer.
Oh.
Because in WordPress, I'd write a standard SQL query or, use WP query, and I'd just get back this loose associative array of data.
Right.
You never quite knew what was inside it until you ran a var dump on the page and just stared at it. So how does Drizzle handle this?
Well, that is the magic of the modern data layer. Drizzle translates your TypeScript code into a highly optimized SQL query and fires it over the network to Supabase.
which is running a Postgres database, right?
Correct. So Supabase executes the query, returns the rows, but then Drizzle intercepts those rows and transforms them into strongly typed TypeScript objects before handing them back to your server component.
Strongly typed, meaning what exactly for the developer?
It means your code editor knows exactly what fields exist on that user object, what type of data they hold, like string or number, and it will literally throw a red underline error before you even run the code if you try to call a field that doesn't exist. Oh, wow. It's like getting your ingredients pre-measured, labeled, and guaranteed not to be poisonous before you even start cooking.
Yeah, it's a huge confidence booster. So we have the typed data now. React takes that data and renders the component tree into HTML entirely on the server.
And then sends back.
Right. Vercel streams that HTML back to the browser. And that word streaming is vital here.
Why?
It means it doesn't wait for the heavy database queries to finish before sending the basic shell of the page. It sends the navigation bar and the layout immediately.
Oh, so the user sees something instantly.
Exactly. And then it streams in the user's dashboard data a few milliseconds later as it resolves. The perceived performance for the user is near instant.
But wait, when that HTML arrives, it's just a static shell, right? Like the buttons don't actually do anything yet.
Correct. Which brings us to hydration.
Hydration.
Yeah. Once the HTML is visible, the client components load their specific JavaScript payload for the interactive bits, the forms, the toggle switches, the complex charts, and basically wakes them up in the browser. Okay, I have to stop you. I have to play the skeptic here.
Bring it on.
You just turned a straightforward, predictable 6-step process into a fragmented 12-step global relay race. I mean, my monolithic kitchen where one server does everything sounds a lot cozier right now.
I hear that a lot.
Why invite this nightmare of complexity? If I'm building a site, why would I want my routing at the edge, my rendering on a serverless function, and my database managed by a completely separate vendor?
Look, it is the most common and valid pushback from anyone transitioning to this architecture. The complexity is the inherent cost of a distributed system.
Right.
But you're buying something massive with that cost. Think about a monolithic setup. If you get a massive spike in traffic, say a marketing campaign goes viral, your one kitchen catches fire.
Yeah, the CPU maxes out, database locks up. White screen of death for everyone.
Exactly. But in a distributed edge network, that traffic spike is absorbed globally. Vercel automatically spins up thousands of tiny serverless functions in milliseconds to handle the load and then spins them down when it's over.
So it's basically uncrashable.
Pretty much. You are buying immense scaling, global performance, and the developer ergonomics of strong typing.
Okay, fair enough. But tracing that request is exhausting just to think about. I'm the developer tasked with actually fixing a bug in that flow, where do I even look?
What do you mean?
Well, in WordPress, I just open the Rava content themes folder, find the template file, and start digging. I know the physical shape of that world. Where does this code actually live?
You definitely need to build that same muscle memory for the modern stack. And thankfully, the industry has converged on a very standardized project layout for 2026.
Okay, good. Yeah.
When you open a modern Next.js repository, you really don't have to guess where things are. The absolute core of your application lives in the app directory.
Just app slash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Next.js territory. It uses file system routing, which means the folder structure itself defines your URLs.
Wait, really?
Yeah. If you want to know what renders on example.com/dashboard settings, you literally just open the app dashboard settings page.tsx file.
Oh, wow. So the app directory is essentially my WordPress template hierarchy. It's my single.php and page.php all mapped out as actual folders.
Exactly. It's very visual.
But what about the reusable pieces? The stuff I'd normally put in a plugin or like a custom widget?
Reusable UI elements live in the component suite folder. And usually this is populated by tools like Shadnoe.
Okay, let's clarify what that means for our listener. Because in the old days, if you wanted a fancy interactive calendar or a searchable dropdown, you'd enqueue a massive jQuery plugin.
Oh yeah, Select 2 or something.
Exactly. You'd load a ton of CSS you didn't even need and then spend hours trying to override the styles with important tags. What is a primitive in this modern context?
It's a completely different philosophy. Instead of installing a bloated third-party package via NPM that you can't touch, Shadnoe actually copies the raw, highly accessible React code for that specific dropdown directly into your component SUI folder.
Wait, it just drops the raw code into my repo?
Yes. You own the code. You can tweak the padding, change the animation, or rip out features you don't need because it lives directly in your code base.
That level of control is brilliant. No more fighting vendor CSS.
Exactly.
Now, what about the database? Where is the equivalent of all my custom table creation scripts and complex WP query wrappers?
You'll find all of that in libdebuff folder. This is the domain of Drizzle.
Okay.
It holds your database schema, which is literally just TypeScript code defining what your tables and columns look like, as well as your migration files.
Migrations.
Yeah, scripts that automatically update Supabase to match your code. It treats your database infrastructure as just another piece of code you commit to version control.
That makes sense.
And similarly, your authentication logic, your session strategies, and login providers for auth.js will live in a dedicated libauth.ts file.
Okay, so the core shape is making sense. App for routing, components for the UI, lib for the heavy lifting.
You got it.
But here's the thing that used to keep me up at night when I first look at this stack.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Environment variables. In WordPress, you have one wp-config.php file on the server. You drop your database password in there. You lock down the file permissions and you walk away.
Yep, the keys to the kingdom.
Exactly. But here we've got Next.js talking to Supabase, deployed on Vercel, integrating with GitHub. How on earth are these separate platforms securely authenticating with each other? Where is the password?
Well, the password isn't in one place anymore. We are moving from a single centralized secret file to a highly compartmentalized approach.
Okay.
Think of it like renting three distinct safety deposit boxes where the keys are held by three different bank managers who completely refuse to speak to one another.
I love that analogy. Let's crack open those boxes. Who is manager number one?
The first box is purely for local development. You will have a .env.local file in the root of your project on your laptop.
Yep.
This file holds your local Supabase keys, your TestStripe API keys, things like that. Crucially, it is listed in your .gitignore file, meaning it must never, ever be committed to the GitHub repository. It is for your eyes only.
Okay, so bank manager number one is just me on my MacBook. What about production?
The second bank manager is Vercel, or whatever your hosting platform is. In your Vercel web dashboard, there is an environment variables panel. This is where you paste your actual production database passwords and live API keys.
Gotcha.
When Vercel spins up those serverless functions to handle a request, it securely injects those values directly into the runtime memory. The code on GitHub never sees them.
And the third manager?
The automated pipeline. If your GitHub Actions pipeline needs to run a Drizzle database migration to add a new column during the deployment process, the robot running that script needs the database password too.
Right, it needs permission.
Exactly. So you store that securely in GitHub's repository secret store.
So what does this all mean in practice? If I rotate a database password and have to update it locally, then log into Vercel and paste it, then log into GitHub and paste it again. Honestly, on behalf of the listener, that sounds like a massive chore.
It does require more steps, yeah. But what's fascinating here is how it radically reduces your risk profile.
How so?
In the monolithic days, if a bad actor exploited a random plugin vulnerability and gained access to your server, they could just read the wp-config.php file. They instantly had the keys to the entire database.
Game over?
Right. But in this modern stack, secrets are strictly scoped. Vercel only holds what it needs to serve the application. GitHub only holds what it needs to deploy the application. A breach in one doesn't automatically compromise the others.
It's zero trust architecture.
Exactly. And to be fair, professional teams don't actually do this copy-pasting manually. They use secret management tools like Doppler or 1Password secrets automation.
Oh, nice.
You update the password in one central vault, and the software automatically pushes the new keys to Vercel, GitHub, and your local machine.
That's much better.
Oh, and one cardinal rule. Only use the nextpublic prefix on an environment variable if you deliberately want that secret exposed to the user's browser. Everything else stays safely hidden on the server.
And always maintain a .env.example file in the repo, right?
Yeah.
Just empty variables so when a new developer clones the repo, they know exactly what keys they need to hunt down to make the site work.
Yes, absolutely crucial for onboarding.
Speaking of new developers in GitHub, that leads us perfectly into the deploy process. Because for a WordPress developer, deployment is where the most profound trauma lives.
Oh, the stories I've heard.
We all know the FTP and pray method. You drag files over via FileZilla, you hold your breath, you refresh the live production site, and you just pray you didn't trigger a fatal error that takes down your client's business.
Well, that anxiety simply vanishes in the modern stack. The transition to atomic pipelines is arguably the biggest daily quality of life upgrade you will experience.
Let's walk through it. What actually happens when I push a new feature to the main branch on GitHub?
The moment that code hits the repository, the GitHub Actions robot wakes up and initiates continuous integration.
So this is the automated safety net.
Yes. It spins up a fresh environment, installs all your dependencies, and runs strict type checking on your TypeScript.
Okay.
If you misspelled a variable or if you are trying to pass a string into a function that strictly expects a number, the robot catches it. It runs your automated test suite. If absolutely anything fails, the pipeline halts immediately.
Wow.
That broken code is physically blocked from reaching production.
That alone is huge, catching a typo before it becomes a white screen of death.
Yeah.
But the sources also emphasize these preview URLs. How does that work?
This is where Vercel really shines. If you push code to a pull request rather than the main branch, Vercel detects it and automatically generates a totally private, fully functional deployment.
Like a staging site.
Better. It gives you a unique URL, something like feature-branch-team.vercel.app. It is a real version of your application running your new code, completely isolated from production.
Wait, so instead of trying to stand up a messy staging server and constantly syncing databases back and forth, I can just Slack the client a link to the exact feature I just built.
Yep.
And they can click around a real environment to approve it.
Precisely. And once they approve it, you merge that pull request into the main branch. GitHub Actions runs the safety checks one more time, and then Vercel performs an atomic deploy to production.
Atomic meaning what exactly?
It means it builds the entire new version of the site in the background. Your live users are still happily interacting with the old version. Only when the new build is 100% complete and verified does Vercel instantly swap the routing.
So absolutely zero downtime.
Zero downtime.
But what if, somehow, despite all the TypeScript checks and the staging approvals, a logical bug makes it through? Because it happens. The sources mentioned Sentry integration for this.
Yeah, Sentry, or really any modern error tracking software, it automatically receives a release marker during that atomic deploy.
Okay.
If your new code starts throwing errors in the user's browser, Sentry tags those errors with the exact deployment version. You get in the Slack alert, you look at Vercel, and you hit the one-click revert button.
One click.
Literally one click. The previous, perfectly working deployment is instantly brought back online. The psychological shift here is massive. When you remove fear from the deployment process, your team deploys smaller updates much faster and far more frequently.
Okay, I am completely swept up in the magic. Atomic deploys, zero downtime routing, type-safe databases.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like developer utopia.
It's pretty great.
But we promised no hype. To respect the listener's intelligence, we have to look at the shadows. Where does this highly distributed modern stack actually break down? Let's go through the anti-hype gotchas.
Yeah, we have to. The traps are very real. And they are painful if you don't anticipate them.
What's the biggest one?
The first massive pothole is region mismatch. We talked about edge networks earlier. Let's say your Vercel serverless functions are deployed in Washington, D.C., the IAD1 region.
Okay.
But when you set up your Supabase database, you accidentally click Europe US 1.
Oh, man, I see where this is going. The speed of light is about to ruin our day.
Literally. Every single time your serverless function needs data, that request has to travel physically across the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean and back.
Ouch.
You just injected 150 milliseconds of physical latency into every single database query. If a single page load requires four sequential queries, your blazing fast edge site suddenly takes nearly a second to load.
So you absolutely must pair your runtime logic and your data layer in the exact same physical region.
Non-negotiable.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Another thing that catches veterans off guard is environment drift. If a developer adds a new required API key to their local machine, but forgets to add the empty placeholder to that .env.example file we talked about.
Oh, that's the worst.
Right. The next person who pulls the code will spend hours debugging mysterious crashes because they didn't know a new key was even required.
Communication is key there.
But here's where it gets really interesting for me. The works locally breaks in prod phenomenon.
Yeah.
The irony here is that a boring traditional WordPress site almost never suffers from this in the same way.
That's true.
Like, when I run PHP locally on my Mac using MMP, it behaves pretty much exactly like PHP on an Ubuntu server. But in this modern stack, local development runs very differently than production, doesn't it?
That is a critical insight, yeah. When you develop locally, Next.js runs a continuous long-running node process. It holds things in memory. But production relies on serverless cold starts.
Cold starts?
Yeah. A serverless function completely shuts down when not in use to save money. When a new user request comes in, it have to cold start, it boots up from scratch, establishes a brand new database connection, executes the logic, and then dies.
Oh, wow.
So if your custom code assumes memory is persistent between requests, it will work perfectly on your laptop and crash spectacularly on Vercel.
So you cannot rely purely on local testing.
Exactly. You have to test against those Vercel preview deploys we mentioned to ensure your code survives the serverless environment.
And what about the billing? With traditional hosting, I pay a VPS provider $20 a month, and I'm done. One invoice.
Welcome to cost fragmentation. Because the labor is distributed, so are the invoices. You are no longer paying one vendor. You have a bill for Vercel hosting, a bill for Supabase database usage, a bill for Sentry error tracking, maybe resend for transactional emails, and Clerk or off.js for authentication.
That is five separate vendors.
Yep. Each has its own free tier, its own paid tier thresholds, and its own unique metrics that can trigger a sudden spike in billing.
So a rogue script hitting the database over and over might blow up your Supabase bill, while a DDoS attack blows up your Vercel bandwidth bill.
Exactly. My strict advice here is you must build a monthly cost model spreadsheet for every project to track those five bills. It's the only way to stay sane.
Wow. Okay, and that leads to the final trap. Gradual lock-in.
Yeah, vendor lock-in is real.
Because everyone says this stack is modular, you can just swap things out. But pulling Supabase out of a mature app and replacing it with something else isn't exactly a weekend project.
It's incredibly difficult. These tools all have escape patches, sure, but crawling through an escape hatch requires massive refactoring.
Right.
Do not swap out core tools just because a new framework is trending on Twitter. Choose deliberately, understand the vendor lock-in, and stick with it until the tool fundamentally stops paying for itself in developer velocity.
So if we look at the whole picture, the five separate bills, the speed of light latency traps, the serverless cold starts, and the 12-step global relay requests. Why commit to this new world?
That's a fair question.
What is the ultimate return on investment for the WordPress veteran listening right now who's considering actually adopting this stack?
There are three massive compounding payoffs once you internalize this integration model. First, your code-based comprehension becomes lightning fast.
Because of the standardized folders.
Exactly. Because the folder structures are strictly standardized across the industry, you are never lost in a file tree. You know exactly what the app and lib folders do, whether it's your agency's code or a random open source project.
That's huge for onboarding. What's the second payoff?
Second, your client scoping becomes incredibly precise. Instead of just nodding along to buzzwords, you can accurately price out the architectural choices. You understand the exact trade-offs of using off.js for free versus paying a premium for a service like Clerk.
And the third shift, I know the sources lean heavily into this one.
The AI multiplier. This is the defining advantage for the next decade of development.
Really?
Oh, yeah. AI coding agents are exceptionally good at generating code for this specific modern stack. Why? Because the patterns are strictly consistent.
Oh, I see. Large language models thrive on predictability.
Exactly. The file routing, the data fetching, the UI primitives, it's highly predictable. If every Next.js app looks the same, the AI knows exactly what to write.
Unlike a custom WordPress theme where every agency has its own weird spaghetti code in functions.php.
Precisely. But here's the catch. If you understand the integration map we discussed today, you can act as the director. You can command the AI to scaffold out a specific server action and then actually review its work for security flaws.
Because you know how it's supposed to look.
Right. If you don't know the map, you cannot evaluate the AI's output. You're just blindly tasting code. Modern stack literacy is the absolute prerequisite for wielding AI dev tools effectively.
That is incredibly empowering. The map gives you the ability to lead the AI, leveraging its speed without compromising your architecture. So what are the actionable next steps for the listener? How do they cement this map in their brain?
The absolute best way to internalize this is to read real production-ready code. Go to the Vercel Templates Gallery online, clone a Next.js plus Supabase plus Drizzle starter repository, and literally read it end to end.
Just dive in.
Yeah. Look at open source Next.js SaaS repositories on GitHub. If you prefer video, watch Lee Robinson's full-stack Next.js build tutorials or search for Theo's T3 stack videos.
Lots of good resources out there.
And finally, take an hour to read the 12-factor app principles online. They are a bit older, but they perfectly describe the conceptual baseline of modern distributed hosting.
You know, we started this deep dive talking about that single monolithic WordPress kitchen. And I mean, there is a lot of comfort in history in that kitchen.
Absolutely. It built the web.
But you spent the last 16 modules learning how to step out of that space and orchestrate a global, highly specialized supply chain. You've learned the vocabulary, you understand the complexity of the distributed life cycle, and you know exactly where the code lives.
You've got the context now.
Exactly. You are now fully equipped to hold your own in any modern stack conversation. The map is yours. Time to put it to work.
It's a profound professional transition. Understanding how the pieces fit together is the final hardest step, but it's worth it.
I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder as you close this out and look at your next project. We've talked deeply about the technology and the servers, but consider the human element of this shift.
The team dynamics.
Right. Think about how this strict, predictable consistency of this modern stack, knowing exactly where libdev is, relying on automated CI/CD pipelines to catch errors instead of manual QA.
Right.
How might that fundamentally change the way developer teams hire, onboard, and collaborate?
It changes everything.
Compare that to the highly idiosyncratic Wild West days of custom WordPress theme development, where every single agency had its own secret recipe. When everyone in the industry uses the exact same map, how much faster can a team really run?